Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
My friends, in order for us to truly appreciate the gospel and its message for us this weekend, we have to understand the context in which it is set in. Right now, Jesus is in the upper room with his apostles at the Last Supper, and he's teaching them one final time. He knows he has just a few more hours left with his apostles before his passion and death, and therefore it's imperative and crucial for the apostles to be able to know their faith, live it out, and then teach it to others, because the apostles will be tasked with the mission of beginning the church in this world. Now notice how the gospel begins. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit." Well, Jesus now identifies the Father as the one who prunes so that branches may bear fruit. Now, we all know a good vine grower will have to, at times, prune branches in order to discard those branches that are not bearing fruit, so that what? All the energy of the vine will be devoted to those branches that can truly bear fruit. What's the symbolism here? God the Father trims away all of our selfishness, our greed, envy, jealousy, all those weaknesses that prevent us from bearing fruit and living out our faith. Next, Jesus says to the apostles, "You are already pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you." Over the past 3 years, Jesus has been teaching the apostles, and the apostles have absorbed his word and his teaching. During that time, God the Father has been pruning the apostles. He has been trimming away their self-centeredness, their jealousy, their envy, their greed and lust for power. And in doing so, now that they have absorbed Jesus' teaching and word, they are bearing fruit because they are living out the faith that Christ taught them. Finally, the gospel message reaches its climax when Jesus says, "Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit." This metaphor underscores Jesus' union with us and our absolute dependence upon him for growth as well as just sheer life. Christ wants to live his life in us, and that's the heart of the message for this weekend. In some ways, one could say that Jesus is asking us to make a metaphysical change, such that Christ's thoughts are now our thoughts, his movements are now our movements, his feelings are now our feelings, Jesus' decisions are now our decisions. See, when this happens, then yes, Jesus Christ truly lives in us. And then we will be able to bear much fruit. And my friends, that is the heart of Christianity, this invitation to intimacy with the divine. If we allow Christ to live in us, then yes, we will bear much fruit. St. Paul writes about this in many of his epistles, especially 1 Corinthians, in which he refers to the fact that we are grafted onto Christ. Furthermore, notice what Jesus says. This term, "we will bear much fruit," it means that we have to do something. It's an action, a verb. What is it? In this case, we must live out our faith. That's what it means to bear fruit, and we can, with faith, hope, and love. With a faith that believes and trusts in the true presence of the Lord living in us. With hope that God will always extend the promise that no matter how difficult, how challenging our lives may get, there's always the promise of the rescue, that Christ will help us persevere through any obstacle. And finally, love. Our relationship with God, our faith, is rooted in a deep and abiding love. Yet, it can be a struggle. It can be a struggle at times to remain in Christ, to bear fruit, to live out our faith. It can be based upon maybe unemployment, poor health, strained relationships amongst family members or friends. Whatever it is in this world, there are times or things that make it difficult for us to truly live in Christ and bear much fruit. I'll give you a great example of what I mean. It's a true story. There once was a young couple that got married and began to start their family. They began to have children. Well, at one point in time, the mother gave birth to a child. After the birth, the parents felt that there was something wrong with this child. Shortly later, their physicians diagnosed the child to be mentally retarded. Now realize, this was back in the 1970s, and information, as well as the technology of medicine back then, was not advanced as we have it in our own day and age today. And this couple was shocked at the news. Yet, they welcomed this baby into their family, and they loved this baby, just like they loved all the children in their family. 3 years later, the mother of this family became pregnant again. Her doctor, knowing that she was approaching 40 years old, and given the fact that her last baby was born mentally retarded, encouraged her to have an abortion. He told her that because of all these risk factors, the odds of her giving birth to another developmentally disabled child were great. And therefore, he encouraged her to have an abortion for medical purposes. Now, this woman was shocked at this doctor's recommendation, and she went home and she discussed it with her husband. For days and weeks, they agonized over this decision. They spent countless sleepless nights. They went to family and friends to seek advice, but the family and friends really couldn't give them any type of advice. They sought the advice of their parish priest. Now, their parish priest counseled them regarding the teachings of the church and prayed with them. It gave them some consolation, but yet, for weeks on end, they agonized over this decision. Finally, with faith, hope, and love, they decided that they would have this baby. They recognized that this was life and a gift from God, and regardless how this baby would turn out, they would love this baby nonetheless, just like they loved all the children in their family. Well, it came time for this woman to give birth, and she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. 20-odd years later, that baby boy grew up and became a priest. Now, 3 years later, the mother of this family became pregnant again. This time, the woman was now in her 40s, and her physician was now pressuring her to have an abortion. Remember once again, this was back in the 1970s. The medical statistics back then showed that women who were in their 40s stood a greater chance of giving birth to developmentally disabled children than women under 40. And given the fact of her medical history in which she already gave birth to a developmentally disabled child, increased her risk of giving birth to another child like that in an exponential way. Her physician told her point blank, the odds were overwhelmingly against her giving birth to a healthy child, and therefore he strongly encouraged her to have an abortion. Now again, the woman was shocked at this news. She went home and told her husband. Once again, they agonized over this decision. They spent sleepless nights. Again, they went to their family and their friends seeking advice. Now, what was different this time was the family, as well as their friends, both recommended that they should follow the advice of their physician and get the abortion. They told this young couple, they said, you know, the odds are overwhelmingly against you giving birth to a healthy child. The risk factors are far too great, and therefore just get the procedure. We'll understand as a family, and we will forgive you. The church, they'll understand, and they will forgive you. Furthermore, they told the couple that they simply do not have the ability or the resources to take care of two special needs children, along with the other children in their family. This couple was shocked at this advice from their family members and friends, because most of them were Catholics, and so they didn't know what to do. Once again, they went to their parish priest. He counseled them, he prayed with them, yet it didn't give them much consolation. They agonized over this decision for weeks. Finally, they came to the conclusion that they would have this child. They recognized that this was life, and like all life from God, it was a special gift, just like all their children were from God. And therefore, once again, regardless of how this child would turn out, they would love this child like they loved all of their children. Well, the time came for this woman to give birth, and she gave birth to a healthy baby girl. And about 30-odd years later, this baby girl grew up, became a physician, and now went to Africa to go minister to the people there. She became a missionary physician. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. This couple allowed Jesus Christ to live in them, especially during the most arduous and the most difficult times or periods in their life, when they were deciding upon the life or the fate of these two babies. And because they allowed Jesus Christ to live in them, what happened? That metaphysical change occurred. Their thoughts were the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Their feelings were the feelings of Christ. And their decisions were the decisions of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they did bear much fruit. First, they bore the fruit of their own faith. As they persevered through these difficult times, their faith grew by leaps and bounds. Furthermore, they bore much fruit, literally, by having these two precious babies, that now God destined them to become a priest and a missionary physician. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. If we truly allow Jesus Christ to live his life in us, then we will bear much fruit. We will be able to live out our faith, even despite the greatest challenges we will face, even despite the most difficult times we may endure, we can live in Christ. We can bear fruit and live out our faith. Our thoughts, our actions, our decisions will all be the thoughts, the actions, and the decisions of Jesus Christ. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. My friends, a priest and a missionary physician are alive today because a young couple lived out those words over 30 years ago. And may the peace and the mercy of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.